Father God, we are so grateful that you're a God who speaks. We ask that you'd speak now, but just as much as that, we ask that you would enable us to listen and listen well, listen in a way that brings life. Amen. Friends, I'm excited you're here. It's always exciting to be together, but I'm excited that you're here tonight because I honestly believe this, that there is no better place to be than gathered together, sitting under the Word of God. I honestly believe that there is no place better for you to be than gathered, hearing the Word of God. And I believe that to such an extent that every week when I don't see you, I'm concerned. Or not always worried, just wondering sometimes, and other times concerned. Every time I do see you, I'm relieved and I'm excited. Because it's important. This is fundamentally important for us to gather and sit under the Word together. But as we dive into the passage we're looking at tonight, I'm reminded to be concerned about something far more than simply you being in the building. Because there's something more important than you just being here, than us just being here and hearing it. I'm reminded not to be simply content that we're in the building. And I don't want you to be content and thinking that you're okay and you're safe just because you're here. The challenging truth is there's many different types of people who gather to hear the Word of God. And they're not all safe. They're not all saved. So I'd be pretty naive to think that we're all right. We're all right just because we're here. I'd be pretty naive because Jesus says pretty clearly in this parable, describing the people who are gathered to him to hear the Word of God, he says there's four different types of people. There's four different types of hearers, four different types of people who come to listen. And Jesus says, well, probably at least four different types. Problem is only one of them is safe. Only one of them is saved. I want to make sure I'm in that group. Do you? You want to make sure you're all right. We tend to assume that we will be. But you want to make sure of it, yeah? The key difference, and we'll dive into it in just a sec, but I'll give it to you right up front. The key difference between those four different groups, and really it's just two groups because three of them are not safe, one is. The key difference is the quality of your hearing. Now, I'm not talking about whether you're a bit deaf or not, right? I'm talking about the quality of your hearing as far as a spiritual quality. See, it's one thing to listen, but it's another thing entirely to really listen and actually put it into practice as though it's true. And that's what Jesus says. It's all about how you listen. Now, we live in a day and age where we like to have our own thoughts because we just think we're so unique. And we love to have our own voice and we like to be heard. And Jesus comes up to me and says, I tell you the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is listen well. So what do you reckon? Are you a good listener? Do you think you listen well? Because if I'm reading this passage right, your eternal destiny hangs on how well you can listen to the Word of God. Really listen and put it into practice. We're looking at a parable tonight. It's a pretty famous kind of parable. Can you listen with me? Can we listen together? It's the parable of the sower. Most people have heard of the parable of the sower, even if you can't only new around here, parable of the sower, or the parable of the four soils. Let's just go through it really quickly and then dig into it a little. Verses 5 through to verses 8 give us the context, and it's pretty simple, even for those of us who are not farming types. There's this bloke, does some farming, and that's about it. Just does some farming, all right? Now, I know we're not agricultural, but back in the first century, Palestine, a farmer would sow seed and then plow, apparently. And let's have a little look at the story here. You've got a farmer, he's got some seed, and the picture I get is he's walking around just scattering the seed. He's throwing it as wide as he can as he goes along. Now, as you can imagine, the seed's falling in a variety of places. Jesus tells this story because he wants to talk about four different types of places, four different types of people. You pick it up in verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering his seed. Some fell on the path, gets trampled, and the birds of the air ate it up. Second lot of seed, some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. The third type of soil, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed, and this is the fourth type, it's the only type that's safe, it's the only type that's good, it's the only type that you want to make sure you are. Other seed fell in the good soil. It came up, yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. And then Jesus finishes by calling out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And for the majority of the crowd, that's all they got. Farming story, and Jesus going, "You got ears, you get it?" I reckon a good chunk of the people, they're going, "Eh, well, that was a nice farming story. That's fantastic." And off they go. Now, there's something unique about this parable in that Jesus doesn't simply tell the parable and then move on. In this parable, Jesus explains why he speaks in parables, and then he actually goes and he explains in detail what this particular parable is all about. He actually gives the key to unlock it so we know what all the things mean. And we don't always get the key in Jesus' parables, and not all Jesus' parables are allegorical like this, where everything must mean something else, but this one at least is, and Jesus gives us the details for it. That's pretty cool. So that's what we're going to do. First, we're going to look at why Jesus tells parables, because he spells it out for us. And secondly, what this one actually means. So why does he tell parables? If you've been around church circles for a while and you've read your Bible for a while and you've grown up in church somewhere, chances are you'll know that a parable is a earthly story with a murmur. That's right. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. At least that's what I got taught as I grew up. And you know what? That's not a bad definition at all. That's pretty good. What you've got to be careful of is the assumption that can be behind that definition. You see, you can think Jesus told parables, he told earthly stories so that we'd get the heavenly meaning, we'd get the secrets of the kingdom of God. And the assumption you've got to be careful is this, and Jesus told things that way to make it really clear, to make the things of heaven really clear to everybody. Jesus spoke in parables to help everybody understand the truth. And that's where the problem comes in. That's actually not why he told parables. He didn't tell parables so that everyone would understand it. Have a look at verse 9 and 10 with me. You tell me why Jesus tells parables. It seems like the exact opposite. Verse 9. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand." It seems to me Jesus speaks in parables so that some, maybe most people who he's speaking to, don't get it, don't understand. So why would Jesus do that? Why on earth would Jesus speak in a way that hinders anyone from getting the truth? I'll give you two things. When Jesus speaks here and explains why he tells a parable, he quotes Isaiah chapter 6, which is where Isaiah the prophet is being commanded to go and speak, and particularly speak in a way that actually calls down judgment and bring judgment on his hearers. And Jesus picks up a quote from Isaiah chapter 6 saying, "In some sense, as I speak in parables, I'm speaking just like the prophet Isaiah, and my speaking is to bring judgment on some, if not many." Huge part of the role of why Jesus came was to do that. He came to divide. He came to bring judgment. He wanted to speak like the prophet Isaiah. Now, why would he want to do that? He's got a whopping big crowd in front of him. And let me suggest this. He's wanting to call out and draw in real seekers. He's trying to separate the crowd into those who really want to get it and those who are just hanging around, maybe because they had a free feed or they kind of are just slightly interested in what's going on. Jesus is pretty popular at this time in his ministry, pretty huge crowd. He's getting mobbed everywhere he goes. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people follow him everywhere he goes. His family, you'll find out just later on in chapter 8, they're having a hard time even getting to him because they can't get through the crowd. Jesus is not the kind of guy who comes and does what he does to draw a crowd. He acts like this because he's trying to get rid of the crowd, or he's at least trying to separate the crowd and draw to himself those who are genuine seekers of what he has to bring. And so he starts to tell parables because he wants deeply devoted followers. He speaks in parables, stories that require reflection. They take a bit of effort to get it. Stories that demand some serious thinking and some spiritual earnestness. Because you won't get it unless you've got that. And you keep drawing near and you keep asking questions. Jesus wanting to separate the crowd into sincere seekers and casual hearers. That's why he's speaking in parables. And as he tells parables, it does one of two things for every person in the crowd. It either reveals truth or it conceals truth. As Jesus speaks in parables, it does reveal truth to some, like the disciples. It reveals truth to those who are genuine seekers, those who take the time to draw near and dig deeper and get beneath the surface of the story and work hard to get the truth, who end up getting blessed with salvation. They have truth revealed to them. That's exactly what the disciples do in verse 9 when they come to Jesus and they say, it describes there that they ask Jesus what the parable meant. We want to get it. I'm not happy with just a farming story. I want to know the truth of the kingdom that you're speaking about here, Jesus. They draw near and they get it. They get the secrets of the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Jesus gives it to them. Jesus gives truth to those who come seeking. But to others, to casual hearers, careless hearers, parables conceal truth. Parables hide the truth from them. Those with a superficial interest who are just content with a pretty nice story and then move on and miss out and get hardened and receive judgment from the parable ultimately. It reminds me of a scene out of Monty Python. Back in the 90s, anyone out there watch Monty Pythons? Anyway, there's this one scene in Life of Brian where Jesus is speaking on the mountain. It's the Sermon on the Mount, and he's doing the Beatitudes. And there's these guys who just wander up and stand at the back of the crowd, just as Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. And what they hear him say is, blessed are the cheesemakers, right? And they're like, cheesemakers, blessed are the cheesemakers. And the other, I'm sure there's some Monty Python nerds here who can quote it better than I do. But here's what I remember. The other bloke turns to him and goes, cheesemakers? Couldn't just be the cheesemakers. It's probably, you know, all manufacturers in the dairy industry. And they go, yeah, probably. And then they walk off again, you know. Blessed are the cheesemakers. You know, like, there were many in Jesus' time who just wandered around the back of the crowd, heard a nice story, wandered off, confused. And many today still will hear the word of God and go, oh, and then just wander off. And for them, a parable conceals truth. What will you be like? Will you have ears to hear and draw near and seek the truth and get it and receive blessing and salvation? What kind of a hearer will you be? What kind of a hearer will I be? Jesus then goes on and he actually explains the parable in detail to the disciples at least, and perhaps to others who drew near as well. There's no evidence that the crowd actually disappeared after this. Jesus actually keeps speaking. So it may be that most of the crowd heard the explanation as well. It's hard to tell. We don't get any idea that they disappeared. But Jesus goes on and he explains it bit by bit. Pick it up with me there in verse 11. And we'll see, he tells us what the seed is to start with. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So this farmer who's walking out, chucking out seed, Jesus is telling the story. He says, the seed is like the word of God, which tells us what? That the word of God is going out. The word of God is being scattered. It tells us that our God is not silent. Our God is a God who speaks and communicates the truth about himself, has been doing it all the way through time, will continue to do it. God has spoken and brought all things into creation. God continues to speak generally through creation about himself, but God speaks specifically and most importantly, through his son, the man Jesus. And God continues to speak today through Jesus by his Spirit and through his word. Our God is a God who speaks. The problem is not that he is silent and hard to hear. The problem is with our hearing. And the central message of the word of God that he speaks now, this side of Jesus, is simply this. It centers on the cross. His mercy and his forgiveness that comes to us in Jesus and him going to the cross to bear our sin and offer us eternal life. There is the central message of the word of God. Come and put your trust in Jesus, believe in him and be saved. The word of God is going out. Many hear the word of God, but everyone responds by hearing differently. What are the four different types of soils? What are the four different types of hearers that Jesus says exist? And no doubt still today, because you will be in one of these four categories. You will be one of these four types of hearers. Which one are you? The first one, the path, Jesus explains like this, verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and are saved. You can see how valuable the word of God is. The word of God is what enables someone to believe and get saved. But there's a whole group of people who actually do gather to hear the word of God, or at some stage hear the word of God, but we're told here the word gets taken away from them by the devil. They hear it, but it either goes in one ear and straight out the other, or it just bounces off almost immediately. And it's not simply a fact that they're bad listeners, never really been able to tune in. There's something spiritual going on. We get told why it is that people hear the gospel and it bounces off them. It's a spiritual thing. Satan is real. He's working hard to make sure that the word of God does not penetrate anyone. That's his mission, and he's always on it. These are people who hear the word of God and think, that's interesting. And then think, whatever, I'm too busy. Got to get on with other things. Well, they hear the word of God and they go, I should think into that. But then there's all these other things that come almost immediately. Just other concerns in life. All good things. And the concern is just taken away. This is those who, perhaps some of you might experience this in church. Now, we all get distracted for different reasons. Sometimes the person next to you smells. Sometimes, so some other reason why a person or a baby is kind of distracting you. But there's also a spiritual reason why you can be distracted and not hear in church. Why you can kind of drift off and start thinking of other things. It's because Satan is real. And if he can get you to do anything while you're here in church, he'll get you just to tune out and go elsewhere with your thoughts. Whether the preacher's boring or not, he'll just get you to do that. Because as long as he can get you thinking about everything else, he's loving life. Satan's mission is to take away the word because he knows that the word is powerful. It's powerful to save an unbeliever. It's powerful to transform a believer and enable them to continue to grow stronger in their faith. Satan wants to stop the word getting to you. It may even be that some weeks after your growth group or after your personal time in the word, you see something and you get convicted about it and you think, I need to do something about it. But then very quickly that conviction gets taken away. It might even happen for you after church. Well, maybe during the sermon or during church, some moment in church you think, you get a moment of clarity and you're like, I've got to do something about that. I need to act on that. That is true. And you think, I'm going to do something. But then the minute church is finished, something happens. Someone comes and talks to you and they just talk about the weather for 15 minutes and you kind of lose it. You lose that conviction. Don't talk about the weather after church. Well, if you do, just the opening sentence, that's okay. Then get back to this stuff, Or someone will come and they'll just kind of trash talk what they heard and all of a sudden this conviction you had, it's lost and it's gone. If you get a conviction, if you see truth, you hear it, you feel it, you know you need to act on it, don't lose it. Don't let it go. Don't hang with people who are going to let it be taken away from you. Satan's at work trying to make that happen. Don't let go of the word of God. Hang on to it. Hang on to conviction. And if you're someone who's sitting here tonight who thinks, yeah, that's me. Often I'm sitting in church or whenever someone opens the Bible, it's like I just want to fall asleep. It's like you just get this, someone like hypnotizes you. Or you tune in and you're there for like 3 minutes and you're like, boom, and you're just gone for the next 40 or whatever. If that's you, friend, it is a spiritual thing. Wake up. Don't ever sleep when the word's open at home, in growth group, here in church. Never sleep. The quality of your hearing is everything. Not about the person preaching it. It's just this. Second soil. The rocky ground. Jesus tells us what that is in verse 13. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So this is where the word of God lands in the heart of a person, and there's joy and there's reception and they believe, and someone springs up and says they want to put their trust in Jesus, but there's no deep root yet. And what soon happens is a time of testing comes, and when that time of testing comes, they die because there's no deep root yet. I would call this kind of Christian a flash in the pan Christian. It's just a phase Christian. And many people will have an experience in their life where they'll feel like they've become a Christian only for it to be taken away very quickly. The first time a piece of challenging testing comes. And friends, testing will come. Those of you who have been walking with the Lord for many years, you know that. Testing will come. It may be your friends or family who want to disown you or abandon you because you've become one of these Christian people. And in that moment, you'll have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to bail on Jesus or am I going to hold fast? It may be that tragedy strikes your life and there is great pain and in that a great struggle to hang on to the belief in a God who's good. Testing can come in many forms. It can be temptation. It could be that guy or that girl or that job or that friend that lures you away. Testing will come. And if you're someone who's new to the faith, your roots are shallow at the moment. They can't be anything else. You've just planted yourself in this stuff. You're just finding your feet. Dig deep into Jesus. Don't stay the way you are. Go deeper in your faith. Sink your teeth into this because testing will come. And if your roots are not deep, if your faith is not strong, you will die and you will bail. So grow. Now, if by some freak of nature, there are some of you out there who have become a Christian like a couple of years ago and you still haven't come across any time of testing yet, I don't know how that works. But if that's you, if there's someone out there who's become a Christian years ago and no testing so far, and you would look back and you think, I don't think there's been a lot of change in my life. Things have stayed pretty much the same. There's not real evidence of growth, but you're thinking, well, this is okay. I'll just keep cruising along like this. No. You've got to go deep because testing will come. Sink your teeth into this faith. Go deep into Jesus. Put your roots down or you'll die. Third soil. I call this one the slow choke. It's the thorny soil. Verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. I don't know, it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. If you are a Christian, you are at risk of being in this category. We all are. Those who've been walking with the Lord, we are all at risk of being in this category, the slow choke. This is I've been a Christian for a long time. And when I think back when I first became a Christian, there was a lot of growth and there was a lot of excitement and there was a lot of keenness to be on the mission of God and there was a lot of passion. But if you're really honest about yourself, you've kind of been leaning for many years on those early days. And there really hasn't been a lot of growth for you for many years. There's just been kind of cruising. And in doing that, you've allowed other things to grow up. If you haven't been paying attention to your Christian life, you've been allowing other things to grow up. Jesus describes them as thorns, which sound really bad. But notice that these things that grow up in your life, they don't seem really bad. They're not all bad in themselves. What is it? The thorns are things like life's worries. Jeez, everyone gets them, don't they? Riches. They come to some people. Pleasures. Most of us are after those. So they're all good things. There's nothing inherently bad about those things. But Jesus says this, if you are not paying attention to your spiritual growth and you just cruise for years not paying attention to those things and other things grow up, good things grow up, here's what can happen, here's what will happen. You will get surrounded and crowded and those good things will become so big that they choke you out. And you no longer grow as a Christian, but you actually start to die as a Christian. Is this you? Is this you? Can you look back and you remember that time when you were really alive? Remember that time when you used to care about getting rid of sin and obedience? When you used to really care about sharing your faith? When you used to be really passionate and excited and keen to grow? And wanting to be more wise. But something's happened. Somehow, over time, things have slowed down and those things are not the priority anymore. All these other things have become the priority. Good things you need to deal with in your life to stay alive and function, but they've become the big things. Earning money, the job you've got and being better at it, the house you want and renovating it, the marriage you're trying to hold together, the kids you're trying to raise, the holidays you want to go on, the sports you really want to do, the lifestyle you want to live, all those things will choke you out. All those things will choke us out, particularly if you have no plan for spiritual growth, but plans for everything else. There's no such thing as cruising as a Christian. If you're just trying to lean on a Christian heritage or lean on the good old days when you were all fired up, you'll cruise downhill and you'll get choked out. And it is a very, very real danger for all of us who call ourselves Christians and have been walking with the Lord. This is my danger. This is your danger. Be very, very, very careful, Jesus says. Hear his warning. Hear his warning. Don't go this way. You won't make it. Watch your Christian life closely. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Always be most attentive to your Christian growth. Be focused and prioritize what really matters. Stay on it. Get back on it. What happened? If this is you, take action. Get aggressive with the thorns. You might need to do some hacking. You might need to do some serious weed pulling. These things that are not bad in themselves have grown too big in your life, and it's time for them to go or at least be cut back significantly because they are becoming a danger to you and the rest of your eternity. So take action, be deliberate, cut back, remove the clutter. Whatever it is, cut it out. Your eternity is too important. Start hacking away at things. Learn to say no to stuff. We live in a society that is continually giving us messages about all the other things we need and all the wonderful things we must pay more attention to. And it depends on what stage in life you're at as to what that might be. For some of you, it's like my super is nowhere near what it needs to be. My retirement plan is not what it needs to be. My investment property portfolio is nowhere near it. And you're getting messages almost every day from the world that you're living, and it's getting you panicky so that you pay attention to all those things so much so. Depends what stage of life you're in. You might need to stop listening. You might need to just start saying, no, I'm not gonna. Anymore. I'm not going to do what they tell me to do. I'm actually going to focus and put priority on what really matters, which is continuing to grow in the faith. Sure, there are things I must do to keep a roof over my head and food in my mouth. But be very, very careful. Jesus is saying they can crowd you and choke you and you'll die as a Christian. We've got to listen. Instead, pay attention. Sow now into your Christian life. go hard for spiritual growth, which is to live like the fourth soil. Let's have a look at the fourth soil, the only soil that's safe. You've got to be this soil. If you're not this soil, you need some drastic action to happen because this is the only soil that's safe. Verse 15. But the seed on the good soil are those who, with a noble and good heart, hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So the good soil are those who not just hear the word, but you hear it with a noble and good heart, a soft heart, a humble heart. How many have been sitting here tonight thinking about somebody else? Thinking, yeah, that's definitely them. They're in that third soil, or that's it. No. Think about yourself. Let the word of God hit your heart. A good and humble heart, a good and noble heart, first allows the word to penetrate them before you think about anyone else. And once you let it do that, the good soil are those who hear the word and retain it. You hang on to it. You don't let go of it. And the things that tend to rob you of the word of God, you run from them so that you hang on to genuine conviction and you repent of your sin and you continue to be transformed by the word of God and you want to obey him and you keep doing that until the end. That's the concept of perseverance. It's one thing to do that for a season. It's another thing to do it until the very end. You see, the big thing about the good soil, the big difference is that the seed that lands in the good soil and grows is the only one that makes it to the harvest. If you don't make it to the harvest, what's the use in hearing? Seriously, if you're not intending on persevering to the very end with this as number one in your life, what are you thinking hearing's going to do for you? If you're thinking, it's probably just good for me. It might help me in my life a little bit. Just help me improve things a little bit. No doubt there's all those kinds of things, the dynamics that the Word of God can bring for you. But ultimately, you want to have the harvest in mind, the end point in mind, salvation in mind, making it as a Christian until the final day, persevering through times of testing, hanging on to your convictions, knowing that this is slow, grow, slogging it out, surviving until the end, and knowing that as I keep persevering in the faith, part of the dynamic is causing there to be growth elsewhere. It's a crop that gets produced. Yeah, there'll be others who will hear about Jesus through your life. Chances are one of the key pieces of evidence that you are in the good soil is that there are others who are hearing about this through you. Now, that doesn't always happen perfectly, but if it is not your intent to share this, and if it is not the case that anyone's heard about Jesus through you and been even slightly compelled to check this out, like, what's going on? I know it's hard to share your faith. This is evidence that you're in the good soil. If you're thinking you're not there, action, drastic action. Be there. Be the good soil. Be one who listens carefully and takes it into action. Make sure this is you. Listening well to the Word of God is the most important thing you will do with your life. We're kicking off a new year, basically, 2013. Will this be a year where you listen well to the Word of God and persevere in the faith, getting built up and strengthened and growing with the harvest in mind? A harvest in the fruit of your Christian life along the way and also that ultimate end harvest. Let's listen well. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're honestly just going, I don't think I am fourth soil, that's the best thing you can do is to be honest about where you are. And you will not be criticized for being honest about where you are here. We want you to be honest. We want you to share that with people who are around you. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to any of the leaders. Talk to anyone. Whatever you do, take action on this stuff. You must listen well. Let me pray. Father God, we believe it's you that actually enables us to listen well. Would you do that? Would you pour out your spirit in such a way on us here and on those beyond us here that we would hear, believe, persevere, and be saved. Lord, for those who have even caught a glimpse tonight and can be honest enough to acknowledge that their hearing, their listening is not what it must be, Lord, would you enable them to take action tonight straight away and not to leave this? Lord, would you enable us all to listen as though our lives depend on it? Because we trust they do. Would you do that work in us, Lord, for your glory? Amen.